Please turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And I'd like you to also pick up Genesis chapter 22. So one chapter in the Old Testament and one chapter in the New. You might like to put a little bookmark. Genesis chapter number 22. And then Hebrews chapter number 11. Thank you for joining us this morning. And if you have a Bible, please look with me there or share with the person next to you. Genesis chapter number 22. And also we'll look at Hebrews chapter number 11. Genesis chapter number 22, notice with me verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 tells us, in summary, Abraham's faith in what God had called him to do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, the Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Verse 18, "Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Thank you for looking at these verses together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask for his help this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the examples of those who you have given us that live by faith. And Lord, their faith was in you. That's why their examples are for us in your word to learn from. Not because of the greatness of who they were, not because of their perfection, because none of them, Lord, were perfect. They were just like us. And yet, Lord, they chose to put their trust, their confidence, their faith in you as their living God. And Lord, you desire for us to see what you have done in their lives as a result. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful joy of knowing that your word is alive today. And it still speaks to our hearts to help us, to encourage us. Lord, we pray that you would supernaturally minister to each of us this morning. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would teach us and lead us and guide us into the path that is pleasing to thee. And Lord, I do ask that you would help us this morning as we look into your word at the example of Abraham. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Last week in Hebrews chapter 11, you might remember we looked at the faith of all these. We looked at the verses previous to these ones that summarize the life of faith for these believers. How that they all died in faith. They had faith in their death. They knew where they were going when they died because they had put their faith in the Lord, the Messiah, as their Savior. We saw how that they lived by faith, evidenced by their trust in God, and how that their faith pleased God. And as we continue in Hebrews chapter 11, you and I would think that, well, the Lord has someone new for us to look at. Someone new in this great hall of the heroes of faith. But surprisingly, God suddenly brings us back to the example of Abraham. Now, why does he do that? We've already learnt about Abraham, haven't we? God has already used the example of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 previously. Why would God bring our attention back to Abraham? Well, no doubt there is one more lesson that God wants us to learn from the faith of Abraham. You remember the Bible tells us, in fact, in the book of Romans, that Abraham is the father of the faithful. All those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation have followed the faith of Abraham, in that he too put his faith in the Lord. And as we have put our faith in the Lord, he is the father of the faithful, if you will. He is someone that God has lifted up out of the pages of Scripture that he wants us to learn from more than any other. In Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, more verses are written about Abraham in this chapter than any others that God has revealed to us. And here in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, the last lesson that God wants us to learn is found in the first few words of verse 17. Notice with me there this morning, Hebrews 11 verse 17. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was, what's the next word? Tried. When he was tried. That word means to be tested. That word means to be proven or to be examined. You see, God brings us back to the example of Abraham because he wants us to learn something about the testing of our faith. You see, God will test our faith. And Abraham is the only one whom God has mentioned his faith was tested. No doubt everyone in this chapter had their faith tested, but God wants us to look at the example of Abraham and to see what Abraham did during this time of testing. This morning, the lesson for us to learn is this: when God tests our faith, what will we do? When God tests our faith. Well, in verse 17, notice with me the testing of Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith was tested. We know what took place here and what God was asking him. But the first thought I'd like to share with you when it comes to the testing of his faith and the testing of our faith, God has brought us into, as Christians, a series of testings one after another. As a Christian, our whole life is a life of testing. And surely it was true for the life of Abraham. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. Here was the first test for Abraham as a new believer. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. You see, Abraham was tested as a new believer. God said to him, I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave the place of comfort. I want you to leave the place of employment. I want you to leave your family, your friends, and I want you to go out not knowing where you were going. And Abraham had to make a decision to either trust God or to trust himself. And the Bible says he obeyed. He passed that test. You see, the Christian life begins with testings. God tests us in our faith. And Abraham was tested from the very beginning. Now, next we see Abraham journeying forth. And as we look at the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis, we'll see that Abraham didn't pass every test, did he? No, not at all. Abraham failed some tests that God gave him. You remember when there was a famine in the land and God was testing Abraham's faith. Did he believe that God could provide for him right where he was, where God had put him? And Abraham panicked. You know the story. He went into Egypt and he lied to the Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister so that they would not kill him, because Sarah was so beautiful. He was worried that they'd get rid of the ugly one and they take away the beautiful one. And so Abraham lied. And that didn't lead Abraham into a good place, did it? That led him into a whole heap of trouble. We see God graciously bring him out of Egypt. We see that Abraham didn't pass every test. But then we see Abraham tested in his relationship with Lot. We see how Lot and Abraham were their herdsmen. Their workers were fighting over the land. There wasn't enough land for both of them. And so Abraham graciously gave Lot the first choice in which to choose which land to live in. We see Abraham pass that test. He was gracious towards his nephew Lot. He allowed him to make the first choice. He was humble before the Lord, trusting that God's plan was best. He didn't need to try to make it out the best for himself. He just trusted in God. Abraham passed that test. Then we read again at another time when after God had given Abraham and Sarah the promise of a child, and yet Sarah was barren. They were both old in age. She had passed the age of childbearing. Sarah began to panic. And Sarah convinced Abraham that we need to step in and take care of this situation because God is not going to do it. We need to take care of it. How many of you and I have ever been there before? And God tests our faith. We try to come up with the solution. But as we know, their solution ended in disaster. We know that that wasn't God's will at all. And Abraham took Hagar and had a son, Ishmael, and he was not the son of promise. You see, Abraham's life was a whole life of testing. And that's the first thing I'd like us to see when it comes to the testing of our faith. You see, God will test our faith. God will try us. The example we see next of Abraham is once again God testing Abraham's faith. And we as believers need to understand when it comes to living by faith, God will test our faith. Our whole lifetime are a series of tests, one after another. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, God says, "Beloved, my children, think it not strange." He says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, the testing that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Brethren, God is saying this morning that challenges and trials in our Christian life are not something strange. God's saying, don't be surprised, Christian, when I test your faith. Don't be surprised when I bring times of proving into your life to reveal what kind of faith you really have. Now, God's testings, God's trials, God's proving is brought into our life as Christians, not to cause us to suffer, but to help us. To help us to move forward in our Christian lives. Now, those of you who are at school, and teenagers especially, university students, some of you are going to have some exams coming up in the next few weeks. Now, you might think your teachers have given you those exams to cause you to suffer. And sometimes it seems that way. And maybe sometimes it is. They've written a difficult exam to show some of us how little attention we paid in class. And then we get it when the exam comes. But generally, exams are given for a reason. What's the purpose of that testing? What's the purpose of quizzes and assignments and projects and exams? Well, they are set in place to reveal what we know, what we don't know, to reveal our strengths and our weaknesses. And brethren, that's why God allows testing into our lives. That's why as Christians, our whole lives are a life of testing. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. And God needs to bring testing into our lives to show to us where our faith really is at, in order to help us to grow. All we need to do is to read the Bible. And we'll find out very quickly that just like in these lives of old that we've been studying, they experienced testing, and so will we. All you need to do is look back in your past as a Christian and agree with me this morning that yes, God does test our faith, doesn't He? He brings trials, He brings situations into our lives, and normally we, you and I, how do we respond? We throw up our hands in the air and we say to the Lord, "Lord, what is this? Lord, what are you doing?" And God says in His Word, "Why are you surprised? Why do you think there's some strange thing happened to you? This is a part of the Christian life." Brethren, what tests are you facing right now? What trials has God brought into your life? Are you angry and bitter with what God has allowed? Or are you dealing with these trials by faith? Do you see these trials, these testings, as something that God has designed for you? You see, if we see that God's hand is in it, that will change everything about how we respond, won't it? If we know that this is from God and that God is in control of everything and God is in this, then it will cause you and I to trust in the Lord in that trial. But you and I, when we panic, when we break down, when we despair and we lose sight of God, That's when you and I are in trouble. That's when God reveals where our faith is really at. You see, the testing of our faith is found throughout our lives. We need to respond to the trials that God sends us by faith, by trusting in Him. Now, Genesis chapter 22 makes an interesting statement. Turn with me there, back to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. You may have read this verse as well, and you may have said to yourself, well, what does this mean? Genesis chapter 22, the Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did what? Tempt Abraham. Now we read that word and we think to ourselves, well, did God tempt Abraham? The Bible says that He did. Well, the word tempt means to test. It's the same word. It means to try. It means to prove. The word here in the book of Genesis does not mean that God was tempting Abraham to do something evil. God was not tempting Abraham to sin. God was testing the faith of Abraham to reveal the worth, the value, the quality of his faith. James chapter 1 verse 13 tells us, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. You see, James chapter 1 tells us that God tests us, but he doesn't tempt us to do evil. He does not tempt us to sin. When we are tempted to sin, that's not God's working in our life. When we are tempted to lust and tempted to commit wickedness in our life, that is not God tempting us. It's the devil. One commentator has said this, the devil tempts us to bring out the evil, but God tests us to bring out the good. You see, his goal in the testings of our life is to bring us, as the Bible says, bring us forth as gold. To change us from the inside out. So through that time of purification, that time of testing, if you will, just like gold, you know, the gunk is burnt off in the fiery furnace. During the heat of that trial, that gold becomes purified, becomes more valuable, becomes more useful in the hands of God. God tests our faith. Our lifetime is a lifetime of testing. And we need to understand that when it comes to the testing of our faith. Don't be surprised when God tests you and I like Abraham of old. Not only in the past do we see Abraham's faith was tested, but also he was tested in those things that were precious. Those things that were precious to him. If you're still in Genesis chapter 22, notice with me what the Lord said to Abraham. How did he test the faith of Abraham? Verse 1, he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Abraham was listening. It's a good place to start. He was open to what the Lord had to say. But notice what he said in verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Notice that God tested Abraham in the area of his life of whom he held precious. What he loved. Whom was it that he loved? The Bible says it was Isaac, his son. He was Isaac, his only son. Now we know Abraham had two sons, but Isaac was the son of promise. Is that right? He was the son that was promised to him. The son of his old age. The one that would carry the family line and build the nation of God, the nation of Israel. And out of him, Isaac, shall the people of God come. Out of his seed will come the future Messiah. And he was the one whom Sarah and Abraham had been waiting for all these years. Through the times of their testing, when they passed those tests, when they failed those tests, they were still waiting for Isaac by faith. And it wasn't always easy to wait. When Isaac was born, they named him Isaac for a reason. The name Isaac, in fact, means laughter. It means laughter. And you remember with me, Abraham laughed when he heard that God would give him a son in his old age. And remember when we looked at Sarah, she laughed also.
She doubted in her heart that this could actually even be possible. How could this happen? So when Isaac was born appropriately, they named him Laughter. And no doubt as Abraham and Isaac grew in faith, the laughter of unbelief turned to a wonderful laughter of joy. As they held up this precious son of God's promise, as they looked into his eyes and they saw the future fulfillment of God's plan for the ages, how treasured this son must have been, how precious he must have been to them, how much joy and laughter he must have brought into their home. A wonderful son that God had provided after so many years. And beloved, it is this precious son that God was now asking Abraham to offer up on an altar of sacrifice to him. What an incredible thing for God to ask, wouldn't you agree? What an incredible thing for God to ask Abraham to do. I mean, didn't he know how much he loved Isaac? Well, he did. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2, verse number 2, we find the first mention of the word love in the whole Bible. The first mention is found in verse 2, the example of a father's love for a son. Now, there's great wonderful truths in that statement. But see, God knew, here's my point, God knew that Abraham loved his son, did he not? He knew that Isaac was precious to him. And God chose to test Abraham in the very thing that that Abraham held precious, Isaac. See, God will test us throughout our lives. And the second truth when it comes to our testing, God will test us in those areas that we hold precious, that we care most about. Would you agree with me this morning? God will test us in those areas that we hold precious. Why? Because God wants to test our faith. He wants to reveal what is truly within us. Do we really love God? Is He really first place in our lives? Are we really living by faith? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was asked, what is the great commandment in the law? Do you remember what the Lord said? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And as Christians, God has called us to put the Lord first above all else. Now, I know we would all agree this morning that that is what we ought to do, but do we really live that way? Do we really live by faith? What is living by faith? Putting God first supremely above all else. And in order for God to continue to use Abraham, God chose to test Abraham in an area of that which was precious to him. And God will do the same in your life and mine. Now, as we look at the example of Abraham, I'm reminded that, you know, oftentimes as parents in our families, God will use our children to try our faith. Would you agree this morning? God will use our children to test our faith as parents. God will use our little ones. See, God was using Isaac, was He not, to test Abraham. He who was most precious. And usually in our Christian lives, the most precious, valuable, joyful gifts we have are the gifts of our children. The Bible says that the fruit of the womb is His reward. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And the Bible tells us in that same verse that children are an heritage of the Lord. An heritage. That means an inheritance. As parents, we have the joy of raising our children. And yes, they are our own. But at the end of the day, they are God's inheritance. They are not ours to keep. And that's a hard thing for me as a parent to admit to. Because I love my children. They are my own. I hold them dearly to my heart. As parents, you love your children. Grandparents, you love your grandchildren. And we hold them dearly, close to our heart. But at the end of the day, they are not ours. They are God's. And parents, we need to get to the place in our faith where we are willing to surrender our children into the trusting hands of God. And that's not an easy thing either. I speak as a parent. I speak as a parent realizing that one day my children will grow up. And one day I'll need to entrust them into the hands of the Lord. And they may not always go the right way. They may not always do the right thing. But parents, my faith is our faith has to be in the Word of God to realize and to understand that God loves our children more than we do. And we need to be willing to lay them on the altar of sacrifice, if you will, to surrender them to the Lord. To admit, yes, Lord, they are not my own. Lord, they are yours. You have a plan for your life, and God has a plan for our life as parents, and His will be done, and we need to be willing to surrender our children to God. You see, that's what it means to live by faith, putting God first above all else. Parents, have you surrendered your children to the Lord? Have you laid aside your plans, your expectations? Have you laid aside your pride? Have you laid aside your demands and said, Lord, I give my children to you. Lord, I entrust them into your loving protection. Lord, I trust that whatever may come in their lives, you are in control. And Lord, help me to live by faith in my home. And my point is this, church family, God will test us in the areas that are precious to us, so that you and I might live by faith. So you and I won't live in unbelief and try and make life work out the way we seem best, but we would surrender our very lives and our very children's lives to the Lord so that we may live the life of faith He's planned us to live in the home. For some of you, it may not be your children. For some, what you hold precious may be your talents, your gifts, your skills as an individual. For some of you, your what you hold precious may be your bank account. Some of us hold our bank account and our money, our finances, more precious than anything else. Some of us will be tested in the areas of our health. Some of us will be tested in the areas of our confidence in ourselves. But you see, the point is this: God will test our faith throughout our lives, and He will test us in those areas that are precious, that are personal. Why? Why does He do that? So that you and I may learn what it truly means to trust in God. So that you and I will know what it truly means not just to sing, "The just shall live by faith," but to walk the narrow path on the Word of God and see Him do greater things in our families' lives. You see, we must be tested, or else we cannot grow. We must be tested, or else we cannot come forth as gold. Don't be surprised, church family, when God tests you and I in those things that we hold dearest and precious to us. Notice the past trials of Abraham. We've seen the precious trial of Abraham. Then thirdly, the perplexing trial. Friends, would you agree with me this morning that God's request of Abraham didn't make sense? Would you agree that? Would you agree with what Hebrews chapter 11 shows us? Turn with me there. What does Hebrews chapter 11 tell us in verse number 17? Thank you for turning there. We're going to be flipping back and forth between Old and New Testament. Notice verse 17. The Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Verse 18 says, "Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." God had promised Abraham that Isaac will be a son that He will gift Abraham and Sarah with, and Isaac will have children, and their children will have children, and their line will continue all the way to the Messiah, the promised Redeemer. What a wonderful promise, what a wonderful plan. But suddenly, God had told Abraham to sacrifice his son upon an altar. Would you agree with me this morning that that request of God did not make sense? How does God test our faith throughout our lives? In those things that are precious, and also through perplexing trials. Perplexing trials. Trials that are brought into your life and mine that do not make sense. Abraham, why would he be called to do this? Why would he be called to do such a thing? Why would he be called to saddle up the donkey early in the morning to go with Isaac and the servants to take the wood, to take the fire, and to know that his son all the way on that three-day journey to Moriah was to be the sacrifice? Can you imagine how Abraham felt when his son looked at Abraham along that journey and he said, "Daddy, Dad, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the offering? Where's the lamb?" And in Abraham's heart, he knew that God will provide himself a lamb. And it was Isaac. Isaac was the one that God had called him to sacrifice. You see, this trial that God had brought into Abraham's life was a perplexing trial. Now, you and I know the end of the story, don't we? And so often we fail to see what Abraham knew. You and I know the end of the story, but what would you and I have done if God had asked such a thing? What would you and I have done if God tested us in an area that was so precious to us and it just did not make sense? We knew what He wanted us to do. We know what He's told us in His Word, but to us, we just can't see how that will work out. How many of us would be tempted to do a runner on God? How many of us would be tempted to run the opposite way, perhaps like Jonah of old? How often do you and I do that very thing? When God brings a testing into our life, we run. And yet, the Bible says that Abraham obeyed God. Verse 17 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac." By faith. By faith. Friends, when you and I are tested, when you and I are tried, there will be testings and proving that God will bring into our life that will not make sense. But what does the example of Abraham teach us? It teaches us this next truth, that we don't need to understand what God is doing in order to obey Him. Let me say that again. We don't need to understand what God is doing in order to obey Him. If God has told us to do something in His Word, we need to simply trust Him by faith that His way is best. Now look up here this morning, please, church family. God hasn't called us to live by understanding. He hasn't called us to live by sight. How has He called us to live? Speak to me this morning. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We trust in the unseen. We trust in the living God. And let me encourage you, there'll be times in your life that you and I are tested in precious ways. Those things that are precious to us, in ways that we cannot possibly understand as yet. And what you and I usually do is to say, "Lord, I'm not going any further until you show me why. Lord, I'm not going any further until you show me why you've allowed this into my life. Lord, I refuse to go with you in this journey of faith because I just don't understand why you're doing this." Friends, that's not living by faith. Living by faith is saying, "Yes, Lord, I don't understand why you've allowed this. Lord, I don't understand why you brought this into my life. But I know one thing. You are trustworthy. Lord, I can trust you. Lord, your way is best." And friends, let me assure you, if God revealed to you and I why He's doing what He's doing in our lives, you and I still wouldn't understand. Why? Because His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is so much greater. Friends, God is incomprehensible. He cannot be put in a box. He cannot be put in the framework of our brains and full understanding. We just simply need to trust God. Amen? But our lives will be tested. The testing of our faith throughout our lives in those things that are precious and through perplexing trials. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, "Pastor, I'm perplexed. I just don't understand what God is doing in my life. I don't understand why He's doing it." May I encourage you to continue to follow with me in the example of Abraham. Because you see, Abraham was tested. But Abraham passed the test, did he not? We see the testing of our faith. God doing a deeper work within us to draw our faith out, to bring it out for good and to perfect it and to grow our faith in the testing. That's what God must do. But notice, secondly, the trusting of our faith. Now, that is what you and I must do. God must test our faith, but then we see the trusting of our faith. And that's what we see in the life of Abraham. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 11. Are you still with me this morning? Now, we could end right now. We've learned much about God's testing. We've learned about God's proving. We've learned not to be quick to quit because He has a purpose. But let's find out about the rest of the story. Notice the trusting of Abraham's faith. The Bible says, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Friends, God tells us very clearly that in this testing time, Abraham passed the test. He obeyed God and he trusted the Lord. By faith, he offered up Isaac. And friends, he did not do that fearfully. He did not do that worrying what will happen. In fact, he did that confidently. Notice with me the confidence from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 22, if you'd like to turn back there. Genesis chapter 22, how do we know that Abraham was so confident? Well, notice what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 22. The Bible tells us in verse number 22, verse 3, chapter 22 and verse 3, excuse me, chapter 22, verse number 3, notice Abraham's obedience. And Abraham rose up when? Early in the morning. Straight away Abraham woke up. Straight away Abraham did what God wanted him to do. Did Abraham panic for a month? Yes or no? Did Abraham argue and deliberate with his wife what they should do? Now, whether or not he spoke to Sarah about it, of course, is not a principle for us to follow. He lived with his wife. They were one flesh. Abraham may have told Sarah. But the reality is, the next day, Abraham got up and he did what God wanted him to do. He did what God wanted him to do. He obeyed straight away. Friends, that is faith. Trusting in God. Then as they approached the mountain, as they approached Mount Moriah with the servants, notice verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, those that came with him as well, stay here, abide ye here with the ass, with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. What does he say next? And come again to you. He said, we're going to both go up and we're going to both go back. Hang on a second. Abraham wasn't afraid of what will happen to Isaac. Hang on a second, Abraham wasn't panicking. Hang on a second, Abraham's world was not suddenly falling down around him. Why? Because he had a courageous faith and trust in God. He had a courageous faith in the God whom he knew. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 once again. See, without Hebrews chapter 11, we wouldn't receive this encouragement, this insight into the faith of Abraham that is for us this morning. Notice verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 11. What does God say that Abraham did in this trial? What's the first word you see there? Accounting. Now, how many of you have ever done some accounting before? Now, the end of financial year is coming up. Maybe you're collecting all those random receipts that have flown everywhere in the wind and lost left and right, trying to collect them together to do some accounting. What do? Well, we sit down and we look at what is there. The reality of what has come in, the reality of what has gone out. We look at the facts, we crunch the numbers, and we see what has come in during the past year. What did Abraham do? He looked back at the trial that he was facing and he looked to where? God. He took an account of God. He was convinced in his heart that God is whom he says he is, and he realized and was persuaded in his heart that God will not let him down. Where did Abraham's courageous faith come from? In a time of such great testing, well, he trusted in God, brethren, simply because he knew God. Abraham knew God. And he knew that even though God had asked him to do the unspeakable, God had a plan. Even though Abraham was asked to do something unthinkable, God already knew the end of that plan. And he knew that God knew God's ways are best. He knew that God's ways were perfect. And he knew that somehow, through this tragic and unspeakable request, that God would miraculously step in and turn this situation around for victory in the life of faith for Abraham. You see, that's how well Abraham knew God. I know I've spoken about how would you and I feel. Imagine how Abraham felt, but in fact, Abraham was confident. He was excited to go up to Mount Moriah. He wasn't fearful. He was trusting in the living God. He passed this test of faith because he knew God. Brethren, what does the book of James describe Abraham as? The friend of God. You see, he trusted in God because he knew God. Now, wait a minute. Why is it you and I so often don't pass the testings of God in our life? Why is it that you and I run from God and we break down and we see every testing as a catastrophe and we don't pass the test of God? Why? Because we don't know God. We don't know Him. You can say amen. We don't know Him as we ought to. We're not trusting in Him because we don't know Him. If we knew Him, then we would trust in Him. Would you agree? But because we don't know Him as we should, therefore we don't trust in Him. And God lifts Abraham out of the pages of Scripture to show us here was a time in Abraham's life that he trusted in the living God. Why? Because he knew Him. Did not just know about His Word. He did not just hear God's Word sounded out on a Sunday morning. No, Abraham was a man who considered God His friend. He spent time with God. He knew God. And he knew enough about God to be excited to go to Mount Moriah and obey what God wanted him to do, trusting that God will turn it all around for His glory and Abraham and Isaac's good. What a courageous faith. What an amazing example, wouldn't you agree? What an example for us to follow. The trusting of his faith. Trusting in who God is. Friends, God will bring trials into your life and mine for this purpose, so that you and I would have a cause to trust in Him. An untested faith is a weak faith. An untested faith is a faith without foundation. You see, God wants us to truly know what it means to live by faith. Living by faith isn't about singing it in a song. Living by faith is when God allows those challenges, those trials, those testings, and then we look to God and we say to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand this. And Lord, this area of my life is so precious to me, but Lord, I believe in You. And Lord, I know who You are. So what does that mean? That means when you and I lose our job, friends, God is in control. And if you and I are fired for being even dared to ask if we can have Sunday off to come to church or Wednesday night, and if you and I lose our job for being a godly witness in the workplace, what does that mean? Friends, that means that is a time of testing. Even perhaps the fearfulness of asking our boss for Sunday off is a time of testing. Why? Because the promises of God are right there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so if we understand God is testing us and we trust in the Lord, we will pass the test. We will see that God will provide beyond our expectations. Look, if I lose my job because I'm a witness in the workplace, which I know is God's will, then I just simply expect and trust in God to provide another job and a better job. And another place to be a witness. Friends, when trials come, what does God want us to do? To trust in Him. When our health fails, What does God want us to do? To trust in Him. To understand that in the weakness of our body, just like the Apostle Paul, in our weakness, that's when the Lord can step in and become our strength. And we can understand fully in no other way possible that God is our sufficiency. And He is our strength. He is our provider. He is our all. But He cannot be the God of our faith until our faith is tried. And Abraham chose to believe in what he knew about God. And he chose to believe in God's promises, did he not? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, "And he that had received the promises offered up on his only begotten Son," what was he doing as Abraham walked up that mountain, as he ascended up Mount Moriah to offer up his son? What was he doing? Friends, he was breathing in the oxygen of faith. He was breathing in the promises of God. He knew what God's promises were, and he knew that if God said it, he will do it. And that's what you and I need to believe in. When he tests us, when he proves us, you and I need to believe in the rock, solid, unchangeable, unbreakable promises of God. That he tests us for our profit, and he will bring a greater good out of it than the trial that we are experiencing right now. Friend, are you trusting God in the trial? Are you obeying the Lord by faith in what He wants you to do? Friend, we need to trust in the promises of God. His promises are so precious, because when we are tested in the precious things, we need to trust in His promises. His promises give us hope. His promises give us, yea, should I say, courage to have a bold faith when everything seems doomed. I mean, think about Abraham. He was a man who had given up his past. He had left the city of his upbringing. And now it seems that God wanted him to give up his future. But Abraham trusted in God. And he did so by faith. Friends, we need to get to know God more, do we not? We need to spend time with Him. We need to claim the promises of God as our very own. We need to allow Him to stretch our faith. But friends, He is trustworthy. He can be trusted. Our feelings cannot. Our fears definitely cannot be trusted. Our own ways definitely cannot be trusted. Friends, if God wants to get our attention, He will. And we need to trust in Him based on who He is. We need to know Him and His Word. And that was the trusting of Abraham's faith. He knew God. Now, quickly in closing, God will test our faith. If you and I trust in the Lord, what comes next? Well, I've got another T word for you. And that is the word triumph. Friends, that is God's will for your life and mine as a Christian. Testing, followed by trusting, resulting in what? Triumph. Say it with me this morning. Testing, followed by trusting, resulting in triumph. You see, what happened next in Abraham's life was more incredible than what God had asked Abraham to do. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter number 11. As we look lastly, this wonderful triumph of Abraham's faith. Friends, this is what we'll see in our lives if we trust the living God when we are tested. Chapter 11 at the last verse, verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Forgot to mention in verse 19 that Abraham's faith was so courageous, he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He believed that if Isaac was put to death, God would simply raise him from the dead to fulfill his promises. That's how much Abraham trusted in God to turn out this situation for a greater good and God's glory. But notice what it said at the end of the verse. From whence also he received him in a, what's the last word? A figure. What does that mean? Well, let me quickly share with you. The word figure means a parable. What is a parable? A parable is a picture. a living illustration, a living picture. Abraham received Isaac back to himself in a figure, in a picture. What was this a picture of? Friends, what was this testing all about? What was the triumph of Abraham's faith? My friends, Abraham was put in a position of testing and he trusted in God. And friends, God revealed something to Abraham that no other believer that lived before Abraham ever saw with such clarity and such detail. God showed Abraham what he will do through the promise of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Isaac was raised from that altar, he was already as good as dead. And when God said to Abraham, as he lifted up that knife and stretched forth his hand to slay his only begotten Son, God said, "Stop, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon thy son. I've tested you, and you've proven to be faithful." And then Abraham looked to the side, and what did he see? He saw a ram caught in the bushes. And Abraham took that ram, and he offered up that ram as a burnt offering in the place of Isaac. What was God showing Abraham? Well, friends, God was showing him a wonderful, clear revelation of the gospel. The message of salvation that we know so well today. Friends, that God would provide a sacrifice to die in our place. That you and I don't need to go to a place called the lake of fire to pay for our sins, because God Himself will provide the living sacrifice. And as Isaac was raised from that altar, when we trust in God's payment, His sacrifice for our sins, we too will be raised to new life to be with Him. You see, God provided a substitute for Isaac's death. God has provided a substitute for your sins and mine. What an amazing revelation of the gospel. And it was not only amazing because the Bible tells us that Isaac was the son whom Abraham loved. God knew how much he loved Isaac. The first mention of the word love. Don't miss what God is saying. The picture of a father's love for a son. And as Abraham's son was lifted back off that altar and he rejoiced, and he embraced his son, and a substitutionary sacrifice was put in its place, Abraham realized what the love of God truly is like. For does not the Bible tell us, though Isaac was spared, God spared whom not? God spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all. You see, God revealed to Abraham not only a wonderful picture of the gospel, but the greatness of the love of God. That yes, He spared Isaac, and how much Abraham loved Isaac, but God would not spare His only son because of the greatness of His love for you and I. What an amazing triumph of faith. What an amazing revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From whence also He received Him in a figure, a picture. An amazing picture of salvation. And friends, let me assure you that this event, this moment in Abraham's triumph of faith changed him. Changed his relationship with God for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, Abraham was a changed man. And God confirmed his covenant with Abraham, his promises. And he said, "Abraham, now I know for a truth that I can bless you more than ever before." And Abraham was a dear friend of God. Because he loved God. He understood the love of God. That in sparing his son, God would not spare his own. God would provide himself a lamb. God would provide himself to sacrifice for our sins. Let me quickly ask the question this morning. Has there been a time in your life where you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Friends, he sacrificed his only begotten son for you. For God so loved you. For God so loved the world. Have you ever come to the point where your heart was broken over your sin against God? And you saw the love of God as Abraham had of old. And you saw how much God loved you in paying for your sins so you don't need to go to a place of hell fire. Friend, have you ever repented of your sins once and for all and turned your back on your wicked ways and called out to Jesus Christ alone to save you once and for all? Have you ever received the love of Jesus Christ in salvation? Friends, it's not enough to know about it. The Bible says we must believe by faith and receive Him personally as our Savior to experience the gift of eternal life. My friend, He loves you. Christ died for you. And He is risen to save today. If you have a doubt about your salvation, if you've never experienced the unspeakable love of God, let me encourage you to invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior today. We'd like to help you if you are seeking Him this morning. And Christian, if you are saved, what is the result of the testing when we trust God? The result is a triumph of faith. A triumph of faith that will change your life and mine. That will bring my relationship to God to a new level, a new place. You see, the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God is unmeasurable. And as we go through those trials, we draw closer to God, and He changes our lives from inside out in a way that we have not known before. And He's able to bless us more. He's able to use us more. He's able to increase that joy of the Spirit of God within when you and I triumph in our faith by trusting in God in the trials. You see, that's the example of Abraham. Let me say this verse in closing. 1 Peter 1:7. The Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Friend, the result of a faith that is tested would be so valuable that you and I would dare not to miss out. Let me encourage you to trust Him in the trials. Though they may be perplexing, though they will be in those areas that are precious to you and I, that's the only way that you and I can learn what it truly means to trust and obey and live by faith. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Perhaps you're facing a trial right now, and God has spoken to you to make a decision in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I've failed one after another. If I look back on my life, it's just a series of failings. And all I've ever done is to fail God. And I've never passed the test. Friend, let me encourage you to be like Abraham. You know, Abraham failed too, didn't he? But can I draw your mind back to what happened when Abraham left Egypt? When Abraham failed, when he left Egypt, what did he do? Friends, I never forget what I learned in Bible college from the book of Genesis. I still remember Pastor Hill teaching this wonderful truth from the pulpit. Yes, we fail in the Christian life all the time. Abraham did too. But what did he do? Did he give up? Did he pack up and go back to Ur of the Chaldees, which he could have? He could have returned home, Hebrews 11 tells us. What did he do? He went back to the altar. He went back to the place where he left off. He went back to the place of worship. He went back to the place of prayer. He went back to the place of devotion with God. And he confessed his sins. And he confessed his faults. And God picked him back up. And he just continued off from where he left off from God. Friends, we have a wonderfully loving God. And if you would say, my life is just a series of failures, friend, He's still the same loving God. And He wants to pick you up from where you left off. He wants to forgive you for your sins. He wants to give you greater strength for the trials ahead. But will you come back to Him? Will you come back to the altar of God? That's what God wants us to do this morning. We've all been tested. We're all being tested. Have you given up? Are you discouraged? My friends, God hasn't gone anywhere. He invites us back to Himself. If you're in the trial right now, let me encourage you to trust Him like Abraham of old. Don't just sit there being perplexed. Get into the Word of God. Amen? Know Him. Say, Lord, I don't need to understand this trial. I just need to know You. I need to know who You are. I need to trust in Your promises. Will you do that this week? Will you get to know Him more? May I say this, mate, will you come to the place where we get together to meet with God in order to know him more, the local church? Will you be faithful to the church God has put you in, that you may know him, that you may grow in your faith, trusting of our faith? Friends, if we trust God, we will triumph. Some of you would agree to that, I hope, this morning. That when you have trusted God by faith, though it did not make sense, there was a wonderful blessing at the end. Amen. There was a wonderful joy. There was a wonderful reward. There was a wonderful fulfillment. When I go out door knocking, though I'm fearful, though I've never been before, and though I dread what people might say at the door, when I simply trust God by faith, though I don't understand why God wants me to be this witness that I feel that I can never be, though I go to the door, someone standing in front of me says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" And then you give them the gospel. Then they say, "No, I've never heard about Jesus Christ. Tell me more." What a wonderful joy to share the gospel with people in our community. But when God tests our faith and gives us opportunities for faith, friend, we need to trust God, or else we will not triumph. But what a triumph of Abraham, and what a triumph of faith we will experience. If we trust him, we will come forth as gold.